Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, welcome to another episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, your official Pokemon podcast for comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Christian Hoffer. I am joined by Megan Peters. You may be noticing that we are missing a third person. I guess he's too busy grilling out or something. I don't know.
Wow, you're just throwing him right under the bus right now.
Listen, there is not a single chance that Jim suddenly decides to pop up in the middle of this episode. Not a chance.
So you're telling me there's not a chance that he had to take care of something with his dog really quick and that he's actually, just ditching the show entirely.
That is a very strangely specific hypothetical scenario that you're chucking out there, Megan. And I frankly don't believe it.
You know what? I love hypotheticals.
So this is a Pokemon podcast. If you are listening to this for the first time, welcome. This is a podcast about Pokemon. We talk about all things Pokemon. We talk about Pokemon the games. We talk about Pokemon the anime. We talk about Pokemon the card game. We talk about Pokemon the merchandise. We talk about Pokemon anything else that I didn't cover with that little spiel. This is a Pokemon podcast, and we also talk a little bit about life and everything else too. Sorry, I'm like going off of like 3 hours of sleep, so I am just like in a really weird state of mind right now. So we should probably just get right into the news this week before I go on some really weird tangents. They're coming, I promise.
All I know is that with your sleep, it would really be helpful if Pokemon Sleep was out.
It really would be, you know. Yeah, that's never going to happen.
For Pokemon Sleep.
You know, I was really looking forward to that weird, like, kind of sleep pillow thing that you, like, the little Pokeball that you slide under your pillow, and that somehow informs you how well you're sleeping. I was actually kind of, like, curious about that technology, but alas, it was not meant to be. We have some news. It's a little bit more of a quieter week than what we've had before in the last few weeks. It's been a very intense August. So September is opening up with some big anime news, some slightly smaller Pokemon Go news, and then some random stuff. So let's dive right into things. So first and foremost, Pokemon, Shining Pearl, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl are coming out in just over 2 months. People should temper their expectations about what this game will entail. We know it's going to be a faithful remake of Diamond and Pearl. And you know what those original Pokemon games didn't have?
Oh, no.
Pokemon from Gen 5 and beyond. Do not expect to see any more recent Pokemon in those games. This news comes to us from Nintendo France, of all places. Apparently, their social media, and mind you, we're not saying that Nintendo France is like suddenly insiders, but they made a post on their Facebook page, I believe, in which they said that there wouldn't be any newer Pokemon involved in the game. That's the Gen 5, Gen 6, Gen 7, Gen 8. And, I technically Pokemon Legends, I think we're counting as Gen 8 too. That mm-hmm. gets into the kind of the weird zone there. Don't expect to see any of the new Pokemon. This isn't that unusual, although I will say that some of the other remakes that we've had has supported the newer Pokemon. The most recent ones being, the Pokemon Let's Go games didn't, but Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire did. Right. Megan, what are your thoughts about the fact that half the Pokedex will be missing from another Pokedex game?
For me, I mean, it's a non-issue. I mean, I never expected them to show up in the first place. I mean, I understand that Ruby and Sapphire remakes to kind of set a little bit of a precedent for it. But I kind of figured with this that you know, when, you know, Diamond and Pearl originally came out, the half of the Pokedex that we know today wasn't in existence. So if they were going to do the quote unquote faithful, you know, adaptation of these games, like they've been saying, aside from kind of the extra features they've put in, as we now know, you know, I never expected there to be Pokemon. Am I, you know, disappointed I can't have Yamper when I get this game? You know, probably a little bit, yes, because I'm just the number one Yamper stan. But I mean, I'm not really surprised. Again, I think people who are expecting that were just kind of, you know, shooting their shot just to see if it would, you know, land true. But I didn't expect that to happen. I feel like if they're going to put that kind of effort into any other kind of game they're developing right now, it's going to be for, you know, Legends or the next like mainline series entry.
Yeah, I'll be 100% honest. I would much rather have a rather large Pokedex for Pokemon Legends than I mm-hmm. would seeing an expanded Pokedex for Diamond and Pearl.
Exactly.
Like, I think that's the one that we should get our expectations up for. I don't know if it's just because the story has been a little bit buried, but the fan base has, you know, not really reacted to this. I don't know. Maybe for once, everyone has tempered their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
A first for the Pokemon franchise. And you know, like, we're still getting a lot of neat new features and expanded features. And it's not like this is a total and complete throwback game. We know there's going to be like fairy type Pokemon in this game, mm-hmm. like, you know, which obviously was not a thing in the original Gen 4 games. And we're getting some cool features. So I think that this will still end up being a good game, regardless of how many Pokemon are in it.
Yeah, I'm on that boat as well. I mean, I never expected anything beyond Gen 4 to show up. I feel like the additional features that they've done, you know, with contests, with, you know, the different types, the kind of tweaks they'll have made to actual battle strategy, I think that'll mm-hmm. be more than enough to keep me invested in the remake. And I would much rather the company as a whole divert its resources and efforts into bolstering the Pokedex for Legends, because that's the thing that, you know, we should have high expectations for. Those are the things that we should be critical about, because this is a step long awaited in the franchise. So not super shocked. Would it have been nice? Yes. But was I ever realistically expecting it to happen? No.
You know, I was thinking the other day, here's our first tangent of the night.
Market. Yes. Good.
You know, I was thinking that with these Pokemon contests that we're going to get in Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, there's a rhythm feature to it. Like, you know, mm-hmm. what happens if we get some sort of like Pokemon rhythm game, like, you know, like a full blown like Pokemon contest spinoff?
Don't get my hopes up.
I mean, wouldn't that be awesome?
Don't get my hopes up. I am an absolute, I loved doing Pokemon contests. I was always the thing that I appreciated doing the most, getting cute, freaking adorable Pokemon, having Vaporeon, of course, be one of my top leaders. And I would just contest the absolute life out of my Pokemon team. Like, I would have teams set of like themes for cuteness of like putting them into contests. Eventually, you know, I'd get to the end game and, you know, defeat the Elite Four, yada yada yada, do what I need to do in terms of story progression. But my bread and butter was always contests. So when I learned there was going to be a rhythm section, I also love rhythm games. anything, DDR, Just Dance, Guitar Hero, the little drum game, the Donkey Kong drum game, literally anything, I will eat it up. So if they create like a specific contest spinoff, oh my gosh.
Have we gotten, like, I'm looking this up now, like, how many rhythm games we've gotten for, like, Nintendo Switch? I don't think so. We've gotten Cadence of Hyrule. That's probably the most, you know.
That's accessible.
Yeah, that's probably, like, the most high-profile game. But, you know, after that, and we've had, there's a Kingdom Hearts one, too.
Yeah, the Kingdom Hearts one was very strange. Mainly, you just wanted it for the little, there was, like, the rhythm game was the main part of the Kingdom Hearts sign-off, and then there was, like, a little mini-story within it that focused on Kairi, which is the only reason I played it. Though I love the music of Utada Hikaru and the whole Kingdom Hearts, you know, soundtrack, that was great, the mechanics of the game were terrible. So if Pokemon does do a spinoff like that, would love it to not do that. But like, if we can have a spinoff of like Mystery Dungeons or even Pokemon Snap, where you're based on a photographer, we can have like a Pokemon musician or something. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah, I'm actually a little surprised that we haven't had something like this before. Like, come to think about it, especially as like rhythm games, they've kind of like slowed down in popularity. Like,
yeah, but it's only a matter of time until it comes back around. I mean, that's the entire video game industry. A trend dies.
And it comes back.
Years later, trend comes back. So it's just a matter of time. I feel like we got some really great Pokemon, especially in the Galar region, that would do really well. You know, with like the Zigzagoon variant of in the Galar region.
I would just love
to have like, because like at the end credits, we have like that whole Pokemon band playing. So I would love like a Guitar Hero Pokemon collaboration. I would eat that up. Signed, sealed, delivered. So,
man, that would be something.
It would, and it would be a good something. Let's make that clear.
I just heard Megan say, "I would love."
Oh my God, Jim Viscardi! That's Jim Viscardi's music.
I just heard Megan say, "I would love a Pokemon Guitar Hero," and I need that.
Right,
more than anything else,
right
in the world.
You picked the perfect point of this conversation to re-enter the podcast. Jim Viscardi, everyone, is back on the show.
Hello.
Totally unexpected. The CM Punk of the Wild Podcast has appeared. Universe. He has returned. After a lengthy absence, like
me looking at myself in the camera going, oh, this beard has got to, I've got to do something with this. Yeah. But that's enough about me and my beard. Hi, everybody.
Wild Jim has appeared.
Yeah, that's it. There we go.
Nick Fighter 31. Thank you.
All you've missed is basically I am tired. And also, we've been talking about Pokemon rhythm games. That's basically what you've missed on the podcast so far.
I have put an amazing idea into the ether, and I would just really like to go on record that if we do get a collaboration like this now, I am the one to thank.
Listen.
Not Pokemon, not Red Octane, not anyone who develops it. I know Activision did Guitar Hero, and if that's, I don't care. Anyways, I deserve the credit. No one else.
We know. I'm sorry, like we're apparently just going off on a tangent. This is what happens when you do a podcast on Labor Day.
Welcome to a Wild Podcast has appeared. What do you mean when you do a podcast on Labor Day? This is every episode of the show.
I'm just thinking like how much sense this makes. Like, you know, the current like kind of like not head of the Pokemon franchise, but like the main guy who develops the games, like Junichi Masuda, like the director of the last like 10 Pokemon games, he's the composer of all the music. Like, you'd think that he'd be all about this.
I know. Yeah. Like, we could have like different instruments that we have to master, like the Pokeflute. Are there many different things?
Are there not Pokemon rhythm games in Japan? I feel like that is 1000% like.
They're probably exclusive arcade entries. Yeah. Like they're not like an actual console title. They'll probably just be strict arcade games because, you know, obviously arcade culture in Japan is massive. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. And there are, you know, various Pokemon titles available as arcade only Japan exclusives that, you know, we've never heard of anywhere outside of Japan. Because they're just so niche.
So also too, I feel like though the era of rhythm games, like it like happened what, I guess 5-6 years ago, right? Like when, when Dance Dance Revolution got really big, and then we got Guitar Hero, and then we got Rock Band, and then they like quietly disappeared for a little bit. And then, but then I feel like when VR, you know, started to get big, Beat Saber is a huge game on that platform. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe that's it. Look, we got Pokemon Snap back. Maybe we're going to we're going to head back in to the rhythm game era of games. Yeah. And it's just,
I mean, right, it's what, the Pokemon thing. It's what Hopper and I said, much like fashion, video game trends come around
right.
So it's about time.
I looked it up. There actually was a Pokemon rhythm game released 10 years ago. It's called Pokemon Stay Tap. It was available for a month and a half on smartphone devices.
Right. And that was not the time for smartphone device games.
This was literally, it was Android 2.1.
Yeah. So,
But isn't the Pokemon Smile, isn't that basically a rhythm game?
No, Pokemon Smile is a, you know, brush your teeth video game.
I know, but isn't it a brush your teeth to the rhythm kind of game?
No, it's they're basically little Pokemon pop up around your mouth and you have to scrub them away.
Okay. You have to brush them off the face of the planet. Oh,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, all I'm saying is I deserve the credit for this idea. Brian Field delivered, Megan Peters.
Moving on from Pokemon rhythm games, so we're getting some new Pokemon coming to Pokemon Go this week. We'll talk about the I don't really want to call it the big one, but we'll talk more about the Season of Mischief here in a little bit, because that launched and that came with Hoopa. But we are getting Inkay and Malamar in Pokemon Go this week as part of the Psychic Spectacular. The interesting thing about this is that they are retaining their evolutionary method, which is a little bit unusual. You have to hold your phone apparently upside down in order to evolve Inkay into Malamar.
Oh, that's weird. I mean,
that's how it worked in the games.
Yeah, but I mean,
I
guess. I don't know, that's just...
I mean, we haven't received confirmation. They like heavily teased, like, oh, this has an unusual evolution method. And if you've played the games, you know what it's about. And it's like, okay. Oh,
well, then it's absolutely that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no way it's not.
I have a hard enough time trying to get my phone from horizontal to portrait mode, like just with it facing me.
What type of phone do you have?
I don't have an iPhone, but half the time I have to like shake it forward or pull it back just to get it to, you know, like work the right way. Like I'll start watching something on YouTube and then I'll turn it and it won't turn. And I have to go like, burr, 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 and it's just, I don't know, who the hell knows.
Really?
I sound like a really old person.
I feel like at this point you need to like,
my phone don't work.
I feel like you need to get one of those, like whatever they're in, the gyrometer, whatever's in it that detects the gravity. Cause I don't have that issue.
Yeah. I've never had that problem.
An iPhone 6, in which case that explains it.
I have a 12 and it just, doesn't work.
Look at fancy.
I basically, my phone cycle is basically every two generations. So I was on a 10 for like ever.
That is true.
Although I do miss the 10. It was a nice size. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about here.
About evolution. Evolutionary quirks.
So that may be happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it certainly sounds like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just saw Sweely. I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce your Sage. Sage Loy. I can't. I'm not even going to try.
Siege Luigi.
Siege Liege.
One
of these days, I'll figure that out. But I just saw his comment.
One of the key trademarks of this show. Not only do we get you know, just tangents, but also terrible pronunciation here on this show. It is Siege Luigi.
Oh,
well, there you go.
I mean, that makes just too much sense.
It does.
Yes. Well, thank you for being in the comments, roasting Jim.
Yeah, I was about to say, Jim hands his phone to his kid. You're making K evolve. Oh, God bless. I mean, that's the other thing. But we were the first podcast to really establish the make fun of Jim for his bad opinions. The other podcasts in the comicbook.com podcast network have since followed suite, but we were the originals on that. Yeah. Like, we were the first, you know, to roast Jim on a weekly basis. You
guys are so funny.
No, it's because we're doing this on Labor Day. So
funny.
This is a quality of weird. This is one of those like weird episodes that we do every once in a while.
It's
like
a holiday special, truth.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's right. That's fair. Did you guys already talk about the Diamond and Pearl stuff? Or
we did. That's how we got onto rhythm.
Oh, that you got onto rhythm.
That's
games.
How we got
okay,
to
perfect.
Rhythm games naturally.
I'm not even going to ask how that happened. The other news bit is one I'm particularly excited about, and I may actually have to go out and get one. But the giant Snorlax and Ditto bean bags are now available in the States.
Yeah. I did order one.
Or did you? Which one did you order?
I ordered Snorlax.
Of course.
Because I missed out on the other Snorlax. Also, I saw one of the... So if you know Pokemon merchandise, they've really pushed for home goods. And, you know, in the last 2 years, they had a Snorlax beanbag that you could get at like GameStop and sometimes the Pokemon Center. Sold out super quickly.
Like ThinkGeek.
Yeah. Like they were originally from ThinkGeek. And, you know, I was able to find one of them in the wild and I just didn't find it very comfortable. But now there are a new collection of beanbags available at the Pokemon Center. It is Snorlax and they have a Ditto beanbag. So Snorlax is your traditional big circle one that you lay on his stomach, as you would assume. And Ditto is more like a tall chair beanbag. So you could use it for like gaming or just, I don't know, whatever you want to use it for, really. They are both very heavy, very heavy, very large. Shipping will be a concern.
Prepare to pay for that shipping. I mean, you'll get it in 12 hours.
Well, no, because the Pokemon Center has free shipping on orders over $50.
Oh, yes, really?
But when depending on where you're shipping it to, depending on where you're shipping to, because this thing is so big and heavy, they will add an additional charge fee. I did not get one, I think because I live in like the continental United States or something, but there are like some areas where it was like under certain conditions, you could have an additional shipping charge added. But they're big. They're chunky. Yeah. Mine's supposed to come in like 10 to 12 days. So we'll see how it goes. But
that FedEx guy is going to be so pissed at you, Megan.
I know. I mean, he's already angry at me because I just ordered a cat for my cats and it was basically, handy. These are each like $199. They might go on sale, but they're probably going to sell out before that happens. So if you want one, you're probably just going to have to bite the bullet. They are nice and big, and they're made out of a more of the like micro bead stuffing rather than just like foam pellets. So they are very squish, very comfortable. They don't have a removable skin or anything, so you have to just kind of spot clean. Can't really wash Snorlax the traditional way. If you want it, these things look great. As soon as mine comes in, I'm going to be posting pictures of it everywhere. I will probably do the podcast while sitting in Snorlax.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, they are here. They are on sale. Get them. Yeah, in the comments, PikaTrainer99, I might mispronounce the brand name, but Yojibos, that is the actual company that is producing these for the Pokemon Center exclusively. So they are very comfortable, and I'm very excited.
See, my entire contribution to this, the entire reason I wanted to talk about these is because the stock photos that they used, like the marketing photos for these, the one featuring Ditto, and it's like the woman sitting on Ditto's chair and she's like holding Ditto, is like one of the most, like, honestly, one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
I just died.
Yeah. It's 10 out of 10, these chairs. I'm very excited. I missed out on the original Snorlax bean bag, and now I'm kind of glad I did. For a while, I was looking at secondhand prices, and I was like, can't do this to myself. Can't do this to myself. And then Pokemon provided me with an answer. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think I'm debating, and what's inevitably going to happen is I'm going to wait too long, and then I'm not going to be able to get one. But it's one of those things.
That's exactly what happened to me. Learn from my mistake.
That's it. I need to. Yeah.
I messed up.
I think I just don't know where. I mean, I've got the space for it. It's just one of those things where, like, do I have space for the novelty of it? Which is a thing like my kid will certainly love, but then she'll get like bored by it for a little bit, and then that's it, and then I'm stuck with a giant Snorlax. Because like, here's the thing: I've got one of those. I remember like a couple years ago, like if you went to a like one of those. Like a Sam's Club or a Costco, they sold like gigantic teddy bear kind of things. Yeah. And so my mother-in-law got one for my kid when she was like three, and it still has, when she's six now, and so still hasn't left the house. But she loves to like lounge on it, and it's kind of become like a, you know, a bit of a lounge thing. And so I'm wondering if I can maybe like make the switch and like she'll be okay with it. So we'll see. Who knows? But anyway. Yeah.
I don't have room for it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I might have to post pictures of my like office that you see behind me, and y'all in the comments just tell me where to put Snorlax. The room behind me is where all my nerd stuff is just like collected. There's a lot of it. So,
in an upcoming episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, we redecorate Megan's office.
Hey, you know what?
This is the content people have come to desire. Okay? Yeah,
honestly,
like this is
like the other.
I would love to do that for several of the podcasts I watch. <It's> like, let me redecorate your room.
the other two comicbook.com podcasts have celebrities. We do internal interior decorating. So, you know. we're the intimate Pokemon.
Don't knock podcast. It till you try it, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We have to take a quick break so we can pay for the show. And then when we get back, we'll talk more, a little bit about Pokemon Go and what is Pokemon Evolutions. Stay tuned. 60 seconds. Okay, now I got to bring this up because it was brought up in the live chat from Weasel Cheese. Pokemon-based interior decoration game when? I am actually shocked that none of the mainline Pokemon games have let you decorate your room.
Okay, but I mean, Ruby, wait a second. Ruby let you.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah, in Ruby and Sapphire, you could create like a little clubhouse, like if you were able to cut certain trees the right way, or like a rock cave area, and you would be able to buy like plushes and seats and like all these different interior decorating games.
Okay,
and
yeah,
do that.
But, yeah,
yeah, but it looked like garbage because it was
cute.
Have you played Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire?
Because have you played the remakes?
Those
were my favorite things. I literally to this, I like honest to God, probably 2 weeks ago, I made myself a new clubhouse. I love it. I agree. We need a full spinoff. I agree. We need like a happy home designer Animal Crossing style Pokemon game. But
we're getting like secret bases back in Gen 4.
I know, like, and I'm really excited.
Like, but it's got like this like weird like temple motif. It's like place ancient statues inside your base. It's like, what am I? I can't finish that joke because it's political.
I don't need it as well. But like, all I know is in Ruby, you could collect a bunch of like Clefairy, Pichu, Eevee plush dolls, and you could win them, you could find some, you could buy others. I mean, that once I was done with post game at that point, collecting all of that stuff to put in my house and my base and Ruby and Sapphire is what kept me going.
Well, and like, you can do that in Pokemon Cafe Remix as well, but it's not quite the same. Yeah, you don't have the customization, less. But you know, there's that element, too.
But I But I completely agree with Weasel Cheese. We absolutely need like a full blown spinoff because that game is like targeted to me. That is me. The demographic is Megan Peters. So, please.
We at this point, we're basically an idea incubator for the Pokemon company. Like, you know, that like the Pokemon executives are listening to this, you know, this little Pokemon podcast and just frantically writing notes and then like sending it to like various third party developers. And it's like, make this into a game. And in like 2025, we're going to get like Pokemon Rhythm, Pokemon interior design. And we're just going to be like,
Duel. Pokemon Duel 2.
We're never getting there.
You know what? We are a podcast that lets people dream, and you know what? Jim is included in that.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you for supporting my hopes and wishes.
You know, here's the thing. I remember when Gen 7 came out, when Pokemon Sun and Moon came out, and they started announcing Alolan Pokemon, and Jim goes and he shoots me a chat message, and he was like literally just talking about, he's like, my favorite Pokemon never get any love. Like, no, that's one true. Likes, no one ever talks about Raichu, no one ever talks about Geodude. And then they go and they add Alolan Geodude and Alolan Raichu, and he's like, I hate it.
I'm like, oh no.
I'm like, you know what? I did hate both. This guy.
I did hate both of them.
I did
hate both of them.
It's just like, never again are you allowed to have anything nice because this is how you react.
That's fair. That's fair. It was a I've come around on Alolan Raichu. Alolan Geodude is still, I think, an affront on some design choices. But yeah.
You can only polish a turd so much.
All right. You
wow.
Stopped. All right. So let's talk about Pokemon Go. We've got Hoopa and we've got the Season of Mischief so far. And, you know, how do we feel about it?
I think it's kind of an interesting like evolution of the game design, because, you know, we're having these like the special research is kind of weird because we're getting like a 3-month storyline. And so you like do the first chapter and then they're like, OK, and now you're going to wait. And then, you know, yesterday they did the second chapter where if you complete it, you get Hoopa and now you're going to wait some more. So I'm kind of interested to see what they do here. I think this is kind of highlighting the fact that Pokemon Go probably needs like a narrative person. I think that's like the best way of like describing it. Mm-hmm. Like they probably, if they continue to do this, they need a narrative designer. They've gone away with it for the last 5 years because this isn't a game about, you know, a storyline, but if they start introducing storylines, they need one that's better than like, well, Hoopa went and dumped some berries in my trailer. But well, okay, like that's fine. The nice thing is, and you know, it is pointed out that we are going to get Unbound Hoopa out of this event because the fact that they gave us Hoopa 5 days into the Season of Mischief means that Unbound Hoopa is coming, and I think that is very exciting.
Yep. Megan, have you gotten back into it? Are you still playing, or what's?
So I did finally open it this last. Little bit of a break because I had a, you know, a little bit of an extended weekend and I went to the park and, you know, was able to finally open up Pokemon Go for a while and actually have stops so that I could, you know, spin. And, you know, it was nice. I haven't really done much on the Season of Mischief. It was mainly just kind of me getting back into the ropes. Also, I had like a million gifts that I still have. So yeah, I'm kind of getting back into it. I'm interested to see if, you know, what Hoffer said, how it's kind of like a shift a little bit for the game and the design and stuff. So, you know, I'm into it. I'll definitely see how it progresses.
Yeah. For me, like, Hoopa's not one of my favorites. And so, like, I don't care as much.
He's not the most exciting.
I mean, Hoopa Unbound is pretty exciting. Like, you know, like,
well, yeah. Unbound. Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
Like, Hoopa Confined is just like your typical, like, little, like, oh, look at this cute little, you know, genie devil thing, but then it's like, and now here's the Eldritch Abomination. It has 9 arms. They aren't connected to anything. It's coming to eat your soul. I like
it's a really weird glow up for Pokemon for sure.
I would very much like if all all the mythical Pokemon received like unbound forms. Like that should be the next evolution. Like, can you imagine like unbound like Meloetta or something like that, where it's just like you know, like suddenly it's like, here before she's a walking, you know, song. Now she's hardcore metal.
Hey,
she's coming to blow your eardrums out.
I mean, you're laughing, but I would absolutely accept that glow up. Just gonna say, it's like I can't remember, Taylor Momsen, I think that's her name, girl who was Cindy Lou Who in the Grinch movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was in Gossip Girl, and she's got that band.
And now she's in that like straight like metal band now. It's excellent. I love their music, but I would love that kind of duality in a Pokemon.
Game Freak, we know you're listening. Give us unbound forms of all the mythical Pokemon.
Correct.
I think that's the least you can do. I mean, here's the thing about mythical Pokemon in general. They're not that relevant. They're cool. I like the mythical Pokemon, but they're not that relevant because they all use the same damn stats. You know, and Hoopa Unbound was the exception to that rule because
I will say that though, like to me, shiny Hoopa Unbound looks like Exodia from Yu-Gi-Oh.
Well, that's because Hoopa Unbound is basically Exodia. Like its limbs are literally floating around it. Exodia is basically coming to the Pokemon card game here in the coming weeks. So we're only like a month or two away before that mechanic finally gets added. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Hoopa, it's here. Deal with it.
Cope with it. It is coming whether you like it or not. So you better just go ahead and process and cope with that information.
Just enjoy it. All right. Well, let's talk about Pokemon Evolutions. This one's a fun one. So Megan, I'll let you tee this one up and then we can talk about it a bit.
Yeah. So as we have said multiple times, Pokemon anime has this mainline series going on right now in Japan, yet to know when it's coming to Netflix. But in the interim of that content, Pokemon is coming out with another kind of mini series. And so we most recently had Pokemon Twilight Wings. Now we are having Pokemon Evolutions. And so the first trailer and poster was released for this last week. It's kind of like a Pokemon Generations Part 2, like the remix. It focuses like one episode. I think it'll be a total of 8 episodes. Each episode will be dedicated to a different region and familiar trainers and characters who we've met in the games and the anime in that area. So it's supposed to be kind of a set aside off to its own special with really gorgeous animation. We've seen, you know, concept art for episodes, I believe, 3 through 8, and we saw actual footage from episodes 1 and 2 in the trailer. And so I believe 1 is going to feature Leon. So you can just, you know, I know Hoffer is that
the
will be
first Hoffer. Episode. The first episode is going to feature Leon.
Yeah. So I feel like Hoffer's really going to thrive with that episode.
Just embrace it.
Yeah. And so in that clip, we know we see, Leon and his little bro have with, Charizard is out. They are fighting Eternatus, however we decided to say that name. Zamazenta and Zacian are, you know, right next to them. So we're going to kind of see what that battle goes into. And then for the episode 2, I believe it shows part of Cynthia's story and another trainer with them. So I am very excited to see how this goes. The first episode, I do believe, comes out this month, and it'll be one episode.
Comes out this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even better.
Even better. It's coming. So we should be getting one episode a month, I believe, at this point. So it's going to be, or is it 2?
It's we get 2 this month, 2 next month, and then 4 in December.
Okay. That's it. Because they're trying to wrap it up before the year ends.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird release schedule. I'm guessing it has something to do with the fact that, you know, there's a Pokemon game coming out in November. And so they're going to...
I did not know that. What are you talking about?
So I think they're holding off on the releases for November until after the game comes out. Because, it will start with the second half. We'll start with the Sinnoh ones. And then we'll get that, you know, one a week. Basically until the end of the year. It's I'm excited for this. Like, I really liked the last time they did this, which was it Pokemon Generations was what that was one was called.
Yeah.
Like I was about to say, I remember watching those and it was great.
I just like that this is going to be like, we're going to get, like, obviously with the main line, like Ash's perspective through, you know, his kind of reunion tour. I like that we're getting like other characters' perspectives on this stuff, like in like little individual, like kind of capsule stories throughout this, which I think just makes it interesting because, like, look, we know who all these characters are. We love all these characters. And so to be able to see them kind of like do their own thing without necessarily needing Ash or whatever is, and at least that's what excites it, makes it exciting for me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. The thing that I really like about it is, like, with the exception of the Gen 4 game, we know, like, each of these events get pulled out very, like, an actual specific Pokemon game. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we get to see, you know, like Zinnia makes an appearance, and, you know, we know that's from Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. You know, the Eclipse, you know, the one involving Lily and Lunala, you know, that's, you know, from Pokemon Moon or Pokemon mm-hmm. Ultra Moon. It might be from Pokemon Ultra Moon because, you know, if they use if they're doing the weirdo forms with it, you know, the combos. Yeah. You know,
there's a question in the chat on episode length. I don't think we know, but I would imagine if it's anything like Twilight Wings or whatever, it may be 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Or were they like 12 minutes? I can't remember. Like 7 minutes, right?
Yeah, they were less than 10 minutes long.
Yeah. I feel so. OLM Inc. is the studio that is producing and is actually like doing the artwork on this. And so OLM should be very familiar to anyone who watches any of the Pokemon anime. They have kind of overseen the anime since it began. Now, different teams within the company have taken care of it because OLM also does, you know, Beyblade and, you know, other various, you know, game inspired or game adjacent anime adaptations. So this seems to be a different team that is doing that is handling this. So it looks like it's going to be a very different kind of style that we are used to seeing in the Pokemon anime. And I would assume, given OLM's familiarity, we can probably expect the specials to be probably 10 minutes. I definitely wouldn't expect them to be longer than 15, but we're probably looking between like 8 and 10 minutes.
Yeah. Someone in the chat asked, what's wrong with Leon? And, you know,
there are many episodes of the of a Wild podcast has appeared devoted to that. Most of our issues with Leon stem from his character arc in Sword and Shield. We don't necessarily think he's too bright, but also, like, aligned himself with, you know, a really bad person and doesn't really understand the choices that he made. Like, there's a whole number.
I mean, Hoffer straight up believes that
he's a felon.
He is a felon.
Yes.
He belongs
in prison.
I mean, this is not like a personal belief or anything like that. This is literally, the man is a criminal. He tried to end the world and he just got cold feet. Okay. You know, like, you know, guess what? The FBI has thrown people in black sites for far less than that. I'm just saying, he should be in jail. That's
here's it. The thing. I just think he is such a dunce cinnamon roll that he just didn't quite understand what he had been manipulated into. So I definitely believe in a Leon redemption arc, but I do agree that he was a very naive little man in that entire story.
Yeah,
so anyways, our collective frustration with Leon lives on to this day.
He is a himbo, and, you know, even himbos can go to prison. That's
all right. There we go.
Basically, that's it. Anyways. You know, I'm really excited about this. Like, and it's been a while. Like, you know, the first thing that, like, when they first announced that, I was like, but we just had Pokemon Generations. And I was like, oh wait, no, we haven't. That was 5 years.
Yeah, Pokemon Generations was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Woo! But we did just have Twilight Wings, but again, that's going to be
wasn't that like 2 years ago?
Coming up on it, yeah.
Who the time?
Time during the pandemic is really just wibbly wobbly. So yeah. It just all kind of feels like it happened recently. Generations, though, that was in the before times. So it feels like it was ages ago.
I mean, that was before we had an anime vertical on comic book.
Yeah, but I still wrote about it when I could.
I was going to say, me and you were splitting that duty back then.
I know. I was over here going, and May. There we go.
All right, let's get to the Pokemon fact of the week and then get out of here.
Okay, pretty simple Poke fact of the week. This time we're continuing our trek through the Johto Pokedex. And we're talking about Sudowoodo. Sudowoodo, most of the Pokedex entries about Sudowoodo are like, yeah, it hates water. It's like, we know, we played the games. Like, that's how we caught Sudowoodo in the first place. But, like, I believe it's Sun and Moon. Like, it's like, you know what? We've had enough of this whole, like, Sudowoodo hates water. Let's talk about old people, shall we? It's like, Sudowoodo is loved by old people. Old people love Sudowoodo. They have magazines about Sudowoodo. Oh, they go, and the bigger the Sudowoodo's like finger balls are, like the more prized Sudowoodo is amongst old people.
My goodness.
The angles of its arms and fingers are just, you know, apparently there's a lot of like obsession about Sudowoodo. So like, you know, like how angular Sudowoodo is. And it is a freaking thing. And it's just like, okay. And, you know, it's because, you know, it's a bonsai tree, sort yeah. of. I mean, it's not a bonsai tree. It's a rock. But, you know.
It's a rock bonsai tree.
I'm very uncomfortable yeah. with Sudowoodo's description in Ultra Moon because it says, and I quote, "The result of Sudowoodo holding the same pose all the time is arms that have become supple yet strong." I don't like Sudowoodo being described as supple.
Do we know why Sudowoodo has yellow spots, though?
To make it look like a tree, Jim.
Oh, is that literally just, yeah, just yeah. to make it look like a
literally
tree?
Literally just came off.
What tree has yellow spots?
The
dying
ones,
trees.
Dying trees.
The ones in Japan, Jim. But I will say that Bonsling has a lot better, like has a much better Pokedex entry. It looks as if it's always crying. It's actually adjusting its body fluid levels by eliminating excess. I'm going to start using that. Like I watch a movie that like causes me to tear up and my wife gives me like flack about it. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I'm just adjusting my body's fluid levels.
Oh God, if its body gets too damp, it will die.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ.
Sudowoodo. Zenpai in the chat does say like its name, Sudowoodo. It took me it was after I graduated college. It took me forever to realize Sudowoodo is because it's a fake tree.
Yeah.
I honest to God, remember the day I realized that was the naming gimmick. And I think I just like sat in my apartment all day because I was just like rethinking my entire life. I was I'm a college graduate and I did not put that together.
I will say, though, reading the description and then realizing that they have they both know the move fake tears makes total sense now. Like, I totally I get it. But OK, but like if Sudowoodo is avoiding the rain, like where's it going? Is it like hiding under a bridge? Is it hiding under another tree? Is it going to the YMCA? Like, where is Sudowoodo going?
I mean, it's
getting wet if it rains.
If it's like in a big forest, you know, I mean, it's not like a 50-foot tree. It's like this little dinky ass.
Right, but it says like, that these things hang out tree. Like in arid areas. And so like,
so you know, then there's no rain then if it's an arid area.
But if you get like a rainstorm in the desert or something, you know, every once in a while, like where?
Oh. Maybe that's why you can only catch one Sudowoodo per game.
Hanging with Charmander under his leaf.
can it use dig? Can it just like dig underground?
I might.
Just chill.
Does it know dig?
I think it can learn dig.
Can it? It does learn dig. There we go.
I figured it out. It just digs underground, waits the rain out, comes back.
Do you think maybe it can use sunny day to like get rid of the rain?
I mean, if
this is the something. This is legitimately the most anyone has talked about Sudo Wudo ever. So
no, because Sudo Wudo is one of the older people in the Pokemon universe. True, yeah.
In the Pokemon universe, yes, no, they are obsessed. But in the real world, I don't think anyone has given Sudo Wudo much thought outside of it's the fighting tree.
Yeah, Sudowoodo is like one of those like weird Pokemon because, you know, it's a deliberately rare Pokemon because you only catch like one of them like in the early games up until Gen 4 when you could start like getting Bonsly and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, you would expect that like Snorlax is a signature Pokemon of the Gen 1 games. And that's one that you can only catch one of. Like Ash runs around with a Snorlax. Red has a Snorlax. But, you know, you don't see gold or silver with the Sudowoodo. You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, and here's this, like, chump-ass, like, brick that pretends it's a tree. Have fun with that.
Yeah,
it's weird. I don't really understand. I do have some, like, major questions about, like, Bonsly, though. Like, you know, the Pokedex entry brings up that it has salty tears. And it expels both sweat and tears from its eyes. The sweat is a little salty, while the tears have a slight bitterness. How would you possibly know that? Like, why are you...
It's a delicacy. There are weird regional delicacies.
Why are you licking Bonsly's tears off its face?
Oh, there are 900% people who traffic Bonsly just to collect its tears like a phoenix, and then they sell it probably to
shit. Like,
let's be honest. Just peel the veneer back.
I am like a little horrified. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap this baby up. We got some new listener reviews on iTunes, so I wanted to read some of those. The first one's from Tecmo Chris. Perfect. I was floating around to look for a Pokemon podcast, listened to several before I found this one. Love the chemistry between hosts, news, deep dives, guests, facts of the weeks, and on occasion, facts of the weeks on occasion and fact of the week. I can't complain about the show other than I miss the Twitch live streams more often than I'd like to admit. And no, Jim, Geodude isn't a viable Pokemon. It's a move. Rock throw it out the window. It's
oh my God.
Oh, God.
That was everyone. I will take it. That's
brilliant.
That's fair.
That was a 10 out of 10.
Next one is from Jake Kurtz. Excited for each new episode. I thoroughly enjoy this podcast and the dynamic between the hosts. I learned about the latest Pokemon news and love hearing each person's take on it. When I retire, I'll actually be able to catch a live podcast. So please keep the show going for another 3 decades, and that'll be great. All the best, Brady.
I love it.
It's amazing.
Maybe we just all retire together.
That's it, right? In a Pokemon commune, basically. Anyway, if you want to help support the show like those two folks have, head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and we'll read it on the air. Love to do that. It's definitely a ton of fun. Otherwise, you can find us at Pokemon Pod CB on Twitter. I'm at Jim Biscardi. Megan's at Megan Peters CB. Christian's at Seehofer CBus. And if you want to catch us live, like some of the other folks do, or you hear us reference people in the live chat, every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, somewhere in the range of 5 to 6 across the pond, and is where you can find us at twitch.tv/comicbook. Look, sometimes when news gets slow, we spend 10 minutes talking about Sudowoodo. and sometimes we don't. But anyway, we definitely love everyone's support for the show. We love seeing folks show up week after week in the chat. We love hearing, obviously, reading your reviews. We love talking to you on Twitter and all of that jazz. So please keep it up. And until next time, may the shiny luck be in your favor.